This episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast is brought to you by Equipment Defender. Check out the racks that stop theft in its tracks. With trimmer racks available in 2, 3, and 4 trimmer configurations, backpack blower racks that fit any size, make, and model of backpack blower, and many other racks available for the tools and equipment needed for your lawn care or landscaping business. Go check them out at lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/Equipment Defender. And listen to this, guys. If you use coupon code LCBS10 at the checkout, you'll save 10% off your order. You're listening to the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast,
the weekly show sharing proven methods and systems
in marketing, equipment, and customer service. Educational and motivational
to help make your lawn care business
an overwhelming success.
Now here's your host,
Julio Tomei. Welcome, Lawn Care Nation, to another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I'm your host, Julio Tomei, and this is episode number 143, entitled There Will Be Hiccups. Well, hello, everybody, and thanks again for joining me this week on another episode of the Lawn Care Business Success Podcast. I really appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week and downloading those episodes, as well as for the questions and comments, the feedback that has been coming through in all of my social channels, whether it's Instagram or on the YouTube channel, or here through email for the podcast. I really do appreciate you guys taking the time out to let me know what you think of the episodes, the videos, and even, you know, the Instagram feed. And, you know, just putting in your 2 cents and engaging with me on a daily basis. As you may or may not be able to tell there, I'm feeling a little bit under the weather. You know, a slight cold, and a bit stuffed up and stuff. So just bear with me on this episode as I try to work my way through it and get an episode out there for you guys. So hopefully spring is upon you guys out there wherever you're at, and you are starting to get into the lawn care side of the business for the 2018 season. If you're not in, you know, a nice place like Australia or something where they are mowing throughout the year. But for you guys here, sort of in the maybe colder climates or seasonal climates where you have lawn care, basically from, you know, March through till October, that lawn mowing season will be starting for you guys now. I actually went out and did all of my first lawn mowing cuts for the season a week or 2 weeks ago now. And then I actually skipped last week for lawn mowing, as typically I found throughout the years that after I do the very first cut of the season, that very next week it doesn't require a cut, as things, you know, are just sort of coming out of that winter dormancy, and it takes a bit longer. But then when I return on the third week and do everybody's cuts, that's where I start the weekly service from then on. So sort of time it with the spring break that we have had here starting. So the kids are off school and all that. And, you know, took a few days off, like I said, and went away with the family for a few days. I came back, did some other smaller jobs, and this coming week is when I will be doing those second cuts of the season and putting down all of the moss control for my particular client lawns. So hopefully you guys are getting in the swing of things. I know Mother Nature has been very temperamental this year. In fact, just seems to be coming and coming over and over again. And there seems to be at times no end to it. You know, even as the official first day of spring had hit, there was people posting on Instagram that, you know, it had snowed again. So hopefully that all ends for you guys. And, you know, I know everybody is itching to get into the mowing season. So I'm going to play the podcast announcements, and then I'm going to get into this week's episode topic about how there will be hiccups, regardless of how you prepare for your, you know, your business and your, you know, the sort of steps that you take and put into place and get things going so that you, you know, can try to minimize these things. But I'm going to share a story after the podcast announcements that happened to me this week, even after, you know, years of being in the business, how things can still come up that you don't foresee. All right, so stay tuned. Hey guys, if you have any questions or comments about the show, I'd love to hear from you. You can head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/contact. And while you're there, why not join my mailing list and get access to a free PDF document of a landscape maintenance contract you can feel free to copy and use in your own business. For you Instagram users out there, be sure to follow me at Lawn Care Business Success. And if you haven't checked out my videos yet, well, what are you waiting for? Be sure to subscribe to the Lawn Care Business Success YouTube channel. Now, I know you guys love listening to audio while you work as much as I do, so I've partnered up with Audible to offer you guys a free 30-day trial and 2 free audiobooks of your choice. There's no long-term commitments, and you can cancel anytime. And get this, even if you cancel during your free trial period, you still get to keep the 2 free audiobooks. It's a great way to try the service and to see if Audible is right for you. So why not give it a try? Head on over to lawncarebusinesssuccess.com/audible. Now back to the show. Okay, so just before the podcast announcements there, I was alluding to how there will be hiccups, how no matter, you know, the plans you put into place, the policies that you put into place, the things that you put into place to help streamline your business, to grow your business, to sort of, you know, the policies that you adhere to make everything work the way it works. You know, I always think of this in the terms of, you know, how, you know, I only offer a weekly as needed service. I don't do 10-day mowing. I don't do 2-week mowing. It's only weekly as needed, which basically means, you know, I mow everybody's lawn on a weekly basis following the seasons. So in the spring season, as things are growing, it's a weekly cut. In the summer, as things, you know, get, you know, the sort of the drought, there's no more rain for months. It gets really hot and dry, you know, everybody goes to a 2-week mowing. And I sort of go like, you know, in that sort of terms, I think of it in the sense of, you know, you don't go to McDonald's and look to order a steak. They just don't provide that. That's not what they provide. And the same is with me. If you're coming to me looking for 2-week mowing, well, I don't provide that. It's just not what I do. We only offer this limited set of services and only on this schedule. Now, I had a incident this past week, regardless of the sort of steps that I take. And when I say that, I talk about, you know, having people set up on the weekly mowing, doing only credit card payments, taking an imprint of their credit card and having that customer sign that, you know, before I start service. You know, billing only at the end of the month and so on and so forth. But even then when you, and those things, let me just jump back there a bit. Those things are all influenced and things that I developed for myself, or should say adopted for my business, over time based on, the experiences that I had previously. So with the credit cards, for example, you know, I adopted the policy of, you know, accepting credit cards first, because of having people that were paying, late, and having to chase them for the money, basically, you know, constant emails, constant phone calls, week after week after week, and still there'd be no payment, and we'd be going, you know, into the next month of mowing and stuff. And I became fed up with that. And, you know, I started with only taking credit card payments from customers who were problem payers. And this was partly due to the fact that the fees on the credit cards that I was paying at the time, were really expensive. So I didn't mind limiting it to only the clients that were issue pairs and having everybody else pay by credit card. But then once I switched and left the franchise sort of system that I was in, and I started my own brand, and I decided to switch everything, including the credit card companies and all that sort of stuff. And I found a merchant account company that I'm with now that has that flat rate system. Then it made sense for me to make sure and require that all customers paid by credit card. And let me take that next step, because now the cost wasn't an issue. I was going to pay the same whether I only had a few customers charge, their credit cards, those problem payers, or whether I charged everybody. It didn't make a difference. So that really, was a leap forward for me, and let me be able to, only take credit card as my only form of payment. So this past week, you guys have followed along, and I've told you guys how throughout the different podcasts, things from the email lists, and how I use MailChimp, and I send out, emails to my clients. I sort of send out that spring newsletter. I let them know that, just a reminder that the lawn mowing is going to start again automatically for those of you that I've mowed, on a weekly basis. And to let me know before March 1st whether there's any changes or cancellations in your service. So this system has worked great for me. Now, bear with me here. I know you guys are probably thinking, like, you're talking about credit cards. Now you're talking about email lists. You're kind of going all over the place. But this will all tie in at the end. I sent out that email in the spring. In the end of the winter there, the first week of February. And basically, like I just said there, it said to all the regular clients that, the mowing would start back up again automatically on a weekly basis in, sometime in March, weather dependent, and to let me know before March 1st whether there was any cancellations or changes. Now, one of the things I've talked about with MailChimp is that the great thing about MailChimp is that it lets you know, who... Not only if those emails were delivered to those clients or if any of them bounced back or anything like that, but it lets you know which of those clients opened those emails. And not only that, it lets you know how many times they opened those emails, on what days, and at what exact time they opened those emails. And if those emails contain any links, it lets you know what links those people clicked on. Now, I did a YouTube video about this as well, just recently in the last month and a half or 2 months. So if you want to check out, that video, I would encourage you to go to my YouTube channel and look for the MailChimp video that I did. And you can, sort of goes into detail on the MailChimp side of it. But essentially, like I was saying there, I sent out that email. This year, I had four email addresses for regular clients that MailChimp was showing me that hadn't opened that email. So what I do in the terms of those four clients, or any clients that, the system reports back that, that person hasn't opened that email. And now I'm looking, okay, well, it's, maybe a week before March 1st, the last week of February here. And I haven't heard from these clients. And now the way I do it in the email is, like I said, I say, let me know before March 1st. Whether there's any changes or cancellations. That also means that if you're happy with the service, you don't have to do anything. You can disregard the email. You don't have to reply to it. You don't have to do anything. I'm always trying to make the lawn care simple for my clients. The mowing schedule, they don't have to worry about. I'm there on the same day each week. If I'm putting the grass clippings in the city bin for the city to remove, I'm rolling out that bin to the curb ready for garbage pickup. I'm typically mowing lawns the day before garbage pickup so that I can roll that bin out to, to the curb before the city comes to pick it up the next day. I'm billing their credit cards automatically at the end of each month. I'm leaving an invoice at the door the following week, always doing stuff to make it super simple so that they don't have to think or do anything extra on their part. Essentially makes the client very lazy, which is a good thing for them because everybody's got busy lives. They don't need to worry about having to write a check and leave it under the mat or to keep track of what day I'm showing up or anything like that. It's always consistent. It's always the same. It's always simple. So that continues into that email where, you know, if you're a regular client, you don't even have to take those few seconds to reply back to the email. You only have to if you're canceling or you want something changed. So like I said, makes it very simple. So this year I had four clients that, you know, it was reporting had not opened those emails. So in that case, then I will phone those four clients. And this year I did, and they just hadn't seen the email or it got lost or maybe put to their junk folder or something like that. And they all confirmed the service for this year. So now I'm looking at my list going, okay, I've got, you know, a few that canceled that sent me confirmation that they had moved or, you know, were canceling service. I have, all the rest that I haven't heard from, but the email software is saying that they've all, opened the email multiple times. And I have four that didn't open the email. So I've phoned them and confirmed that yes, they, do want the service, continued. So I go last week and I start doing all of my Mo's and I complete all of the Mo's. The next day, I get an email from a client. And the email says, somebody mowed my lawn. I did not want my lawn mowed. I did not confirm service with your company this year. I wasn't happy with the service last year and, I found it too expensive is what the email said. Now, this is a client that I picked up last season. This is a client where initially they live across the street from a couple of houses that I've been doing. One of them I've been mowing on a regular basis for about 3 years up until last year, where partway through the year they moved and downsized and went to an apartment. So I lost that one, but I had been doing them for a few years, like I said, and because of them, I picked up one a few doors down on a temporary basis where every time they go away on vacation, they have me mow their lawn. And I've been doing this for a few years now where I just mow their lawn for about a month, month and a half. And I do this two or three times a year, depending on the year. They're older, they're retired, they have an RV, they go away, and I take care of their property every time they go away. Now, this client that called and left the email lives across the street from this house that I do, you know, the holiday cutting for, and who was down the street two doors away from the house that I had mowed for 3 years solid. Now, this client originally called me and asked me to give them a quote. They have this big corner lot. They've got it's different altitudes. Basically, there's some hilled areas of the lawn. There's some flat areas with boulevards. It's a corner lot. There's sidewalks that go all the way around. There's curbing that goes all the way around. It's in a very nice neighborhood, all brand new houses. There's grass pretty much all the way around the house. You know, lots of garden beds, lots of edging. There's trees, there's light posts, all sorts of stuff, that needs to be trimmed and edged and all that sort of stuff. So I went and I gave them a quote, for $60 per cut, because of all the edging, the corner lot, they've got twice as much as everybody else. And considering the prices that I charge in that neighborhood that, you know, some people, like I say, have hired me for years at a time. Other people continually hire me on an ongoing basis when they're on vacation. Their price that I quoted them was only $10 more versus the other homes in that neighborhood, and only because they're a corner lot. So there's twice as much edging, twice as much sidewalk, and all that being a corner lot. So I thought that would be pretty reasonable. And they hired me. But they hired me on a temporary basis at first, because the initial call was that the husband had had some sort of surgery and wouldn't be able to mow the lawn for a bit, for about 2 months, and needed my help to mow the lawn. No problem. So I went and I mowed their lawn for 2 months. At the same time, the wife of this household asked me how much it would cost to edge all of those sidewalks. And I say this because these sidewalks had never been edged before. They were, you know, overgrown maybe 3 inches or so over the sidewalk on either side. And like I said, a corner lot. So a lot of edging to be done there. So I gave them a price for edging, and the wife said to go ahead with it. I couldn't do the job at the time because of the conditions. It was way too soggy and wet, and it's a lot easier to, you know, do the edges. Also, I didn't have my walk behind edger with me. I don't normally take that with me. And this is definitely a job, that the walk behind edger, would, excel at. So I told them that I would bring the walk behind edger and, you know, do that the next time. I get an email from this husband a few days later saying he doesn't want the edging done, that he has one of those electric edger machines and that he'll do it himself. Now, keep in mind that he's not allowed to be doing anything for a few months, which is why the wife hired me in the first place. And this is the beginning of spring. So he's essentially putting off the edging until the summertime. This is an affluent neighborhood, new houses. I know these people are well off, or appear to be well off based on their the size of this home, the cars, the other accessories in you know, throughout the yard, like the barbecues and things like that. Everything is very nice, very high end. So he's essentially putting off the edging to do himself when he feels better a few months down the road. And the only thing I can think of is maybe the cost of what I quoted them. Anyways, I do the mowing. They let me know after a few months that they are good to continue the mowing now themselves. And they thank me for my business. No problem. I bill them for what I've done up to that point. And you know, we go about our way, and I continue to do the neighbor's lawn from time to time and that sort of thing. I get a call about a month in of not doing their lawn. And they're telling me that the husband just can't do it. And, you know, I figured with the different altitudes, like I said, there's some really hilly areas and stuff like that. It could be, you know, pretty difficult terrain to be mowing on. And these people are older as well. So, you know, it becomes like, you know, I kind of figured that something like this might happen. So they hire me now full time and say just for me to take care of the lawn, that they can't handle it anymore. So no problem. I start to mow the lawn on a weekly basis, and I do this for the rest of the year and finish off the season. Everything is fine. So this, 2018 comes around. I send out that email. They are one of the ones that I confirm the email had received. They had opened the email multiple times, and I got no confirmation from them that service was to be canceled for this season. Now, in my email, I highlight this point. It's in big, black, bold letters to please let me know by March 1st if there are any cancellations or changes to your service for 2018. So I get this email from them, like I said, saying that Somebody mowed their lawn. They didn't want their lawn mowed. They weren't happy with the service, that they found the price too expensive, and so on and so forth. So I email them back immediately and I say, I sent out a confirmation email over a month ago. I use a tracking software that lets me know if the emails are delivered and if the customers open the emails and how many times the emails were opened. I said, your email was received by you on such and such date. It was opened at this time on that same day and subsequently opened 5 more times over the past month. The note about canceling service prior to March 1st and that service will automatically continue is in big black bold letters. I said, you didn't cancel your service. You didn't respond to emails. You didn't tell me after last season that you were canceling service. So we mowed your lawn. There's not much I can do about that. You didn't cancel the service prior. I have no issues with you canceling the service going forward, of course. If you want to cancel service, that's your prerogative. But there's nothing I can do about having already been there and done it. Now, here's where I get sort of defensive with that. And it's because of the track record of this customer. With the fact that the customer had hired me in the spring earlier, and the wife had asked me to do the edges, and I gave her a quote, and she told me to go ahead with it, and you know, it was just based on me getting the machine the next time around and bringing it with me, having the proper tools there, having the husband cancel that particular part of the service, and then I forgot to mention that when they hired me full time back in the fall, the wife told me to go ahead and do the edging because by this point, it still hadn't been done. So the husband who had canceled that portion of the service, you know, earlier in the year and said that he would do it, never actually did it. So the wife is really wanting, you know, the lawn, the edges, the sidewalks to look like they do on the other houses that I maintain. And the husband is neglecting it. They tell me to go, or she tells me to just go ahead and do the edges. And so I do it. I bring the machine the next time. I don't know if she told her husband that she had told me, but I had, you know, I just brought the machine the next time, got it done, billed them. Everything there was fine. Never heard from them after that point. So, you know, this year comes around, like I say, and I'm getting this, email from him saying that, you know, he didn't confirm that he wanted service and all that. And like I said, that's where I get defensive is with a customer like this because of the track record of him canceling services. Now, you know, I don't like to say that somebody's cheap or something like that, but that's sort of where it kind of goes in this direction, because these customers, this particular customer clearly has the money to afford these services. And I'm not price gouging them. I'm pricing them in line with how I would price any other job. Completely fair considering the amount of work to be done versus the other houses in that area. You know, considering it's a corner lot with double the edging and all that sort of stuff, to only be charging them a $10 premium on that versus the price if they just had a single non-corner lot, middle of the block type house. And just for the track record of him canceling that service of edging last year, but his wife really wanted it and she basically had me do it anyways a few months later because he still had neglected it. Kind of gives this track record of the guy is a penny pincher. He, you know, doesn't want, to pay for the services. And then for him to say that he came back at me with another email after that one, where I said, now in his next email, he doesn't deny anything about not reading those emails. you know, basically I'm laying out that, hey, here's my proof. I use software that tracks the email. It shows that you opened it 5 times, you know, well within the month before the time I'm asking if you want to cancel service. You're not canceling service. So we're showing up to do the job, and he's not denying any of that, but he's just saying he comes back, sort of defensively and almost flustered, saying, they never mowed my lawn all the way on the east side. And I just found it too expensive. Sorry. So again, I'm kind of laughing at this because number one, the too expensive part right away is like, okay, this is what it's all coming down to is the price, is that you're too cheap to pay for a quality job, because based on the rest of the neighborhood, they're all paying for it. They're all happy with it. The other interesting thing about that is he's saying that the lawn wasn't mowed all the way on the east side. Well, the east side is a shared piece of lawn between him and his neighbor. The neighbor had a landscaping company come in and do a bunch of work in their backyard, which they had to drive excavators over the lawn to get into the backyard, and being shared piece of lawn, my customer's part of the lawn got affected by that, and it was completely torn apart. So it took months where I couldn't mow that section of lawn because there was literally these huge ruts and mud and stuff from the tracks of these Bobcat machines going in and out on a daily basis. So he's using that as an excuse. And then the company finally, after a few months, finished the project. They leveled it and they put new sod in place. But this was like in the summertime, and the sod started to immediately start to die off. It wasn't being watered by the homeowner on either end, whether my customer or the other customer that had the job done. So I stopped in that section. I was mowing around the new sod because I didn't want to tear it out. It wasn't rooting. It was actually shrinking in places. And you could see like it wasn't filling in between the seams. It was actually dying off. And I think later in the fall, they redid it again because, you know, regardless of whose fault it was on either side, nobody was watering this new sod in the middle of the summer. So, you know, it was a thing. So I explained that to the customer. I said, it's pretty obvious why that section wasn't mowed, because for half the year it was tracks and mud and dirt and stuff. I can't do anything with that. And when they finally laid the sod, nobody was taking care of it and it was all dying off. And I didn't want to be, held to blame for the sod, with somebody coming up with an excuse saying, well, you know, you're not supposed to be mowing it. That's why it's dying off. And for them to, pin the blame on somebody else for their lack of effort in trying to keep that section growing. So like I said, two sort of excuses there about the one. You've got, 99% of your property being mowed with one section being left alone because of obvious construction and, issues there. And then the price, which is I think is hilarious. And we'll get into that bit about it as well. But so I respond back to them basically saying, about the lawn and why that section wasn't mowed. And that's the only section. So you're talking about, this tiny piece of your property that's not being mowed because of the machines going over the property line and that shared piece of turf. But the rest of it, I'm mowing your property up to just those, like where the tracks are left, where the mower physically can't go over all the bumps and ruts and things that are and mud and stuff. And also, I state in the email that, I saw you almost on a daily basis. Every time I was there in the morning, in your garage, either getting into your car or on the side door, letting your dog out to pee. And you always waved at me. You always said hi. And not once did you bring up a concern about or ask me why I wasn't mowing that section of lawn if it was such a concern. The other thing that's interesting is that for somebody who's complaining about price, not only did they hire me once that year, they hired me twice that year. They hired me once on a temporary basis at that price, and then they called me back after a month or so, once that temporary contract was fulfilled. They hired me again on a permanent basis for that exact price. Again, not indicative of a client who thinks my price is too expensive. You wouldn't hire me again if my price was too expensive after the first time. My price isn't going to change. If you're calling me back to do the job again, it's going to be exactly the same as it was before. So that's why I was sort of, chuckling to myself about this situation and kind of laughing about how no matter what you do, all of those things you put into place over the years, you're always learning. And there always will be hiccups. There's always going to be customers that have some other motive. So this customer, may have wanted to cancel service, may have had all, the indications that he was going to cancel service to himself, but he just didn't let me know that. And now he's feeling ticked off that I went and mowed the lawn. And he's just trying to, based on how I see it, with his record of canceling the services that his wife wants done, and she basically, going behind his back and saying to do the services anyways, and I would do them, that he's just trying to get out of paying for this mowing that I did, for the initial mowing. And granted, this first mowing is not only the mowing, but it's I'm re-edging the sidewalks and all that sort of stuff so that they're ready to maintain for the rest of the season. So like I said, I just responded in that fashion saying, hey, the reason that section wasn't mowed was that, that construction was happening. I saw you almost on a daily basis every time I was mowing there. You never brought that to my attention that that was an issue for you. So I just figured it was, obvious why I wasn't mowing that section of the lawn. And the price, you hired me twice that year on that price, once on a temporary basis and once on a permanent basis. And at the end of that permanent basis, you didn't tell me that you weren't continuing service. Not exactly indicative of somebody who thinks the price is too expensive to hire me twice, at that same price on two separate occasions. I sent you that email. You didn't confirm that you were canceling service, even though you had opened the email five times. I did the mowing, and now only after that first mowing is done is that you are all of a sudden bringing all this stuff to my attention. So here's where some of those things come into play. I look back, like I said, to the track record, and now I go, okay, well, if I had a pay-by-check system, this would obviously be a customer that would be hard to collect from. If I had a pay-by-credit card system, but only one that I had to send the invoice to electronically, like some of these, Yardbook and some of these other softwares use, where then the client still has to click on the link and enter their payment details on credit card, and then it charges their credit card, better than check, but in this situation wouldn't have helped me. But the system that I use, where I take the customer's credit card before I even do any work, I put it in one of those old school credit card machines that you have to put the carbon copy sort of paper slips into. You put the credit card in the machine, you put the carbon copy slip over top of it, you run the little roller back and forth over the surface, it imprints the credit card details onto the copies of that slip onto three separate copies. Now, these are traditionally used back in the day before these electronic credit card systems and stuff to basically give them a credit card receipt. It has an area where you can fill out the description of the service, how much you're charging their credit card, all that sort of stuff. They sign it, you would give it back. I don't use it like that. I use it just as proof and verification that that customer gave me their credit card personally. So I take that credit card when I first meet them. I put it in that thing. I take an imprint of it. In the area for description, I write pre-authorization for monthly lawn care, and I have them sign it, and that's it. I hold on to it. I keep it. I have their credit card number. I take the 3-digit number off the back. I write it on the front of the card. I confirm the expiry date, and I'm good to go. I do their mowing. I do their monthly billing. So now you get into a situation like this. The client is saying that they didn't authorize you cutting it. I look and go, okay, well, I have email verification with you saying that you didn't authorize it, but me responding back that I sent you an email asking you basically to confirm service before this date. I have the verification of the exact days and times you opened that email, so I know you read it. You didn't respond. That gives me the okay to that you are renewing your service for the season. I go and do the mowing. And now I have your credit card statement from last year with you signing it with a description saying pre-authorization for monthly lawn care. Doesn't have a price. Doesn't have, it's open-ended on that end. It just says that you're pre-authorizing me to charge your credit card for monthly lawn care. And now I have an email string of our conversation. And when I give you the points of where or what, you know, the fact that you opened the email, that you didn't respond back in time, that you only responded after the mowing was done, all that sort of stuff. And you're not denying any of that. You're just making excuses. Now I'm completely protected in charging that customer's credit card. And that's exactly what I did. I ran their credit card for the full amount for that mowing, and then I canceled their service. And that's it. And like I talked about, you know, in a previous session, I think with the interview with Tony Rudolph, and I mentioned that Seinfeld episode where if somebody, you know, cancels service and all that, that I don't renew service after that. Well, this is one of those situations where, you know, because of this incident, I will never work for that client again. Regardless, whether they want me back or they don't want me back. But if they do want me back because they hire somebody else and see that all services aren't equal, that they're not going to get that same level of service that I was providing them, that they're not going to get that same ease of billing, the reliability, the rain or shine, all that sort of stuff. And they try to come back. I'm sorry. That's it. I'm done. And I will not work for them again. But having those things in place and doing your due diligence to make sure you have the, those credit cards, you know, imprints signed, showing that that, you know, it's one thing for a client to say over the phone or something like that to give you their credit card number. But having that imprint, a physical imprint, is just one step forward. It shows that that client handed you their credit card and that you physically had it in your hand, that you were able to imprint a copy of it and that they signed it, right there in ink, you know, right in front of you. And they signed it with that pre-authorization for monthly lawn care, giving you permission to charge their credit card for monthly lawn care. And then the fact that, you know, you have an email conversation back and forth is another fantastic thing, because then it provides that proof. It has that proof showing that they're saying one thing, you're refuting them with facts, you know, showing that no, in you know, actual fact, I sent, you know, a reminder to you that service was going to start back up automatically over a month ago, and gave you in bold letter saying for you to cancel service if that's what you want to do, or let me know of any changes before that, you know, month had passed. And you opened it, and I have it documented of when the exact days and times you opened that email 5 different times. And yet you didn't cancel service. So what did you expect to happen? I was going to show up and mow your lawn. So just some things to think about that, you know, I'm always talking about the different, services that you can provide, the different methods that you can provide, but there is always a sort of ugly side to it, a bad side to it, a side where things go wrong, a side where there's hiccups. And, you know, customers will get under your skin, like in this situation where it wasn't totally under my skin because I was laughing about it, in one extent, because it was, you know, funny that he's trying to refute these things when I have all these facts. But it was also a pain in the butt that I had to deal with it and had to waste my time going through the effort of writing these emails back and forth with this person. It's just one of those things, no matter what you have set up, no matter, you know, the things you have in place, there's always going to be clients who try to get around that or try to, try to cheat the system basically, and try to get away with a free mowing or something like that. And this is just one of those clients that we all get, that we all have. The difference is that I've been doing this for 12 years, and those customers that, you know, would try to take advantage of me were more at the beginning of my business when you could sense that I was new to the business. But I think a lot of people have the sense that the yard guy, you know, maybe he's not too intelligent. You know, he's just cutting lawns. He's just like that. We can, you know, take advantage of him. And when you're sitting here in this big fancy house with these big fancy cars and all this stuff, and you're trying to do it, it's like, I even said to my wife, what do they think? I'm an idiot? Like, I've got all this stuff in place to prevent this sort of stuff and to protect myself from this sort of stuff. And, you know, once I responded back with those emails, I never heard a word back from him. So it's like, there you go. There's nothing that you can say to refute the evidence that you had seen that email, you had ample time to cancel, yet you didn't. So I did the service and you're going to get charged for it. I have your credit card, so I'm not at your mercy waiting for you to pay me by check or to click a link for you to pay by your credit card or anything like that. I have your credit card information and the job is done. I've charged you for it. And now we'll go on our ways. We'll go about our separate ways. So just wanted to sort of bring up, you know, an episode there about sort of the ugly side of dealing with clients and the things that, you know, you ultimately have to put up with. So thanks for you guys for listening to this episode and bearing with me through sort of, you can hear my sore throat here and my congestion. Hopefully it wasn't too hard to listen to. I'm also recording this episode in a different area. I'm not in the usual podcast studio that I record in. I am, using a handheld digital recorder in sort of a different quiet place because I'm just not able to access that area at the time. So hopefully the sound quality isn't too bad as well. And you guys get some value from this episode. So that's it for this week, guys. Here's to wishing you guys all overwhelming success and freedom in your lawn care business. Bye for now.